My story starts the last week in August of 1953. I was 17 years old. It was first week of school at Springdale High School, the new high school on M Avenue. I had played tennis the day before over at the Methodist Church tennis court. Played hard, was very tired. The next morning I was still tired, but I attributed it to the many sets of tennis that we'd played the day before.
That's Lewis Epley Jr. recalling the events leading up to his polio diagnosis in 1953. Poliomyelitis is a viral disease that can affect nerves and can lead to partial or full paralysis. It's the goal of Rotary International to eradicate polio from the face of the earth. The organization is making a big push this year to eradicate the disease once and for all. Epley is a member of the Rotary Club of Fayetteville, who is currently raising money for polio vaccines. After his tennis match in 1953, Epley recalls feeling tired and nearly fainting the next day at school. He was sent home and experienced a fever and nausea. The following morning, after reading an Arkansas Gazette article about polio symptoms, his mother called their family doctor.
I was admitted about 4:30 that afternoon to the new Springdale Hospital, where I had some time earlier been one of the two young boys that had mopped the floors cleaning up the new Springdale Hospital before they turned it over to the city of Springdale. And I was admitted. They did a spinal tap, and the spinal tap confirmed that I did in fact have poliomyelitis.
Epley was in the hospital for a day or two when a 14-year-old polio patient was admitted to an adjoining isolation room. Epley says the young man was placed in an iron lung, a large machine used to help patients breathe.
I would go to sleep at night listening to the bellows of the iron lung work. And then this was just a few days later, one night, I heard a lot of noise in the adjoining room, a lot of commotion. Then it got very quiet. I heard the iron lung turned off and it was stopped. One of the nurses came into my room and I asked what was going on and she wouldn't tell me anything and got out of my room as quickly as she could. And then I could see the loading dock at the hospital out of my room window. And in about 30 minutes, I saw Gilbert Sisko, who was the mortician in Springdale with the Callis and Sisko Funeral Home. I saw him back up his hearse into the loading dock, watched him unload a gurney, heard the gurney later, a few minutes later, come down the hall and go into the adjoining room. Then I heard the gurney go back down the hallway, and I watched Gilbert Sisko load this young man up in his hearse, so there was no doubt in my mind what had happened. Needless to say, I did not sleep very much that night, and I could not help but think, boy, God had taken that young man's life and spared me. And I guess that's a question I will never know the answer to till a later time.
Shortly after, Epley's own condition worsened.
One night, while I was still in the hospital, I felt a strange feeling in my left arm. The next morning, I could not lift my left arm off the bed. It was completely useless and paralyzed and non-functioning. And when I stood up, why, my left arm hung like a well rope.
Epley was discharged after 2 weeks and sent home to wait on a bed to open up at the Jacksonville, Arkansas Convalescent Center, which was located in an old Army Ordnance hospital. It took another 2 weeks before the center had room for him.
There were 75 young people there, children in baby beds all the way up to me. At 17, I was the oldest. The vast majority of all of these young people were polio victims. Physical therapy in Northwest Arkansas was non-existent in 1953, and we had to go to this central location on the outskirts of Little Rock for physical therapy treatment. While I was there, I went to kept up my school studies. They had a school located in the convalescent center. I went to school in a bed for a while, then I went to school in a wheelchair, and then finally I was able to, they let me walk. My left foot for some time would slap the floor when I walked because I could not control the letdown of the elevation of my left foot, but that went away with time.
Epley was optimistic about his recovery until a specialist paid him a visit.
A specialist came out from Little Rock to examine me and asked me why I hadn't gotten there sooner. He could have done more for me if I'd gotten there more expeditiously, and I told him I came just as soon as they called and said there was a bed available for me. I then asked the doctor how long I was going to be there. I thought I'd be there just a matter of days, learn some exercises, start some physical therapy training, go back home, join my senior class because I desperately wanted to graduate with my class. The doctor told me he didn't know how long I was going to be there, but the first thing that was going to happen, I was going to go back for a couple of weeks of complete bed rest and physical therapy. Well, up until that time, my attitude had been very good. But after this visit by the doctor and the fact that I did not know how long I was going to be there or really what was going to happen, my good attitude plummeted completely to the bottom. I guess I became uncooperative with the physical therapist because one night this good-looking, blonde, young, Swedish physical therapist came into my room and dressed me down like a Marine drill sergeant would dress down a recruit. I mean, she ripped me from one end to the other, got right in my face and just really told me how the cow ate the cabbage, and if I wasn't going to cooperate with her, why didn't I pack my bags in the morning, go back to Springdale, open up a bed for somebody else that would cooperate with her, that I ought to be a cheerleader, that I ought to be a role model for all of these younger people who were children that were at the convalescent center. So that night I didn't sleep very much, but I decided if I was ever going to get out and regain the semblance of a normal life, I better get with the program and start cooperating with her. So the next morning I got with the program, started cooperating with her. I became a role model. I became a cheerleader for the other young people. And I illustrate this by the fact that a young African-American boy, probably 10 or 11 years old, who had been found crawling in the back alleys of West Memphis, Arkansas, paralyzed from the waist down, was getting a new set of full-length leg braces, the ones like Franklin Roosevelt wore when he had polio. This young man's braces had come in. I was in school one morning. They came down and got me out of school in a wheelchair and took me down to the physical therapy room. And on the way, I asked them, I said, "What's wrong? What's the matter?" They said, "There's nothing wrong, but the Jack of Diamonds got his braces this morning. We have them on him. He's standing in the parallel bars, but he will not try to take any steps or to walk with the braces until you come down to watch him because he wants you to see him attempt to take his first steps."
Epley remained in Jacksonville for about 9 weeks.
They finally said they would discharge me after I had was after him all the time if my mother would come down and learn the exercise routines. My mother did. My dad took home movies of the exercise routine so that we could watch the movie if we thought we needed to correct anything. They wrote out, my physical therapist wrote out a home program for my mother to follow. And we religiously followed the home program and did the exercises and the physical therapy until the end of the school year in May. I was able to graduate with my class. After graduation, I decided that to go out into Virginia, Withfield, Virginia, With County, Virginia, and sell Bibles door to door, and you walked the country roads, and I thought being outside and doing all that walking would be good for me, so that's what I did that summer. Came back before the University of Arkansas started, stopped in Little Rock, had a planned operation on my left hand where they transplanted some muscles. This was one of two operations that I had on my left hand. And when I was coming out from under the anesthetic, this was in the days where they didn't have air conditioning in every room, and my room did not have air conditioning, and the window was open. And as I was waking up from the anesthetic, I heard singing, and the choir or the group that was singing "When We All Get to Heaven," so I didn't know quite where I was. And when I did get awake, I asked who was doing the singing, and it was at the Baptist Hospital, and the nursing students were having some type of little program out in the courtyard, and as part of that, they were singing the song "When We All Get to Heaven." And that's what I woke up to that morning after the surgery.
Epley earned a law degree from the University of Arkansas before moving to Eureka Springs. He joined the town's Rotary Club, and in 1985, Rotary International set a goal to completely eradicate polio. In the early 90s, Epley recalls listening to a polio presentation at his local club.
And up until that time, I'd pretty much put the polio in the past. It wasn't something that I really wanted to dwell on or talk about. But he put on a very, very good program on the efforts that Rotary International was taking and embarking on the program to eradicate polio in the world. And at the end of that program, I stood up in the Eureka Springs Club and challenged the other members to step forth and become a part of this international program. And as a part of that challenge, I offered to step forth and be a part of the program and to tell my story in an effort to try to influence or help others, Rotarians, to become a part of this worldwide program. And I guess you might say I've spoken to many Rotary clubs, to a Rotary District conference, telling my story.
Rotary International's goal was to eradicate polio by 2005.
But we didn't make it. Polio has been eradicated in 99% of the world, but there are four countries that have been very tough and that we're still working on. And those are Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nigeria, and India. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has contributed $355 million towards this polio eradication effort and challenged Rotary International to raise another $200 million from its members to help match the Gates Challenge. Of that $200 million challenge, Rotary International has raised, as of December 31, 2010, $160 million of that.
The Rotary Club of Fayetteville is helping this effort by setting a goal to raise $210,000 by April 30th. The local group has raised nearly $60,000 so far, and Epley says he likens this effort to the March of Dimes.
President Franklin Roosevelt, who was a polio victim himself, ask everybody to send a dime to the White House, and that year $1.8 million was raised to help with the polio effort, treatments, and research. And my mother later, back in the mid-50s, was chairman of the March of Dimes campaign in Springdale, and I still remember her and the other mothers in Springdale going door to door where the porch light was on, collecting dimes or small contributions.
Epley is working hard to help raise money because eradicating polio has become a personal goal.
Some people ask me why I'm so passionate about this. Well, first of all, I know that the March of Dimes money helped pay for my care and treatment over 50 years ago. I also know that the children in Afghanistan and Pakistan and India and Nigeria would not get the same type of care and treatment that I received. But if they can get the polio vaccine, then they don't have to have any care or treatment, because with the polio vaccine, they will not get polio. So that's why I'm so passionate about it, and I would like to see this polio eradicated in the world during my lifetime, and I'm going to be 75 in April, so we're going to have to hurry. But I want to say that the eradication of polio is one of the top items on my bucket list to see during my lifetime.
The Rotary Club of Fayetteville will host a talent show April 21st at St. Paul's Episcopal Church. You can find out more information at fayettevillerotary.org/endpolio.html.